This is Rainbow Six Radio, bringing you
the Next Generation Podcast for talk, news, and information for all things Rainbow Six.
Welcome to Rainbow Six Radio. We are here for our second episode, and we have a little bit different show structure going on today. So this is a weekly podcast that we're going to do, bringing you everything from news and information to opinions, topics, and more in the Rainbow Six community. And our regular co-host, Cap Dan, is not available this week in our second week of our weekly podcast. So standing in for Cap Dan, we have Neely Bobber. Say hi to everybody.
Hello, everybody. How are we doing today, Darley?
So, Neil, you've played with me for quite a while, actually. You and I go back quite a ways. Do we go back pre-game? Are we beta bros?
No, we're not beta bros.
Okay.
I distinctly remember it was season one. This is back when the operator menu, when you picked your operator, was the full character. So rather than the boxes, we had the full character standing up there. It was shortly after launch. I think it was.
Was it between launch, but before
it was after
Black
season
Ice?
One. It was in season two. Valkyrie and Blackbeard just got released, and that's when we started. I saw you in game. I mentioned something. I don't remember the exact thing that happened, but then I think I added you or asked if I can add you. We played once or twice, and then it just kind of went from there.
Okay. So I guess you and I started more or less about the same time that Cap Dan joined, too, because he was also came in around like tail end of Dustline as we were getting to Skull Rain. And so it sounds like maybe you were just maybe a little bit before that. So
I think so, but I don't think we really, really started playing until after Cap Dan. So like I think we played one or two games before Cap Dan, and then after that, the seasons kind of kept going, and we just played more and more and more. And and then the rest is history at that point.
Yeah, and of course, you've been in a whole bunch of my videos, from operator testing to just, you know, highlight reels in the background or whatever. You see, you know, Neely Bobber gets a kill, or unfortunately, poor Neely Bobber is being experimented on with explosives or whatever for testing. Or
yes, and I still hold it up to this day. It's my number one favorite video was the Echo. Echo break or the Echo leak video or the trailer. So when Echo's trailer first got deciphered, remember how it first came out in Japanese?
Yeah.
And the one that was released to you guys, and just so the audience knows, I live in Canada and you live in the States. So I don't know what it was, but on YouTube and on Facebook and where all these trailers were getting leaked, yours didn't have subtitles. And I distinctly remember.
Yeah, because Ubisoft Canada and Ubisoft North America are technically two different video channels and two different regions.
Exactly. And I had the Echo. I had the same trailer with subtitles. So I just linked you that video. And I remember you sort of, thanks to Neely Bobber, he got me the video, so I have all the subtitles. And I still like, yeah, that was me.
Nice.
Especially when there's like 100,000 people who watch, it's like, yeah, that's me.
So as a way for our audience to get to know you, Neil, can we just Captain and I did this last week, where just to introduce ourselves to the audience, because some people may know me from my YouTube channel, some people may be brand new and kind of hearing about me for the first time, and I welcome to all of you that are out there that applies to. But as a kind of a way to get to know each other, Captain and I did what was our number one favorite attacker and defender. So now, in the spirit of fairness, it's your turn.
Okay. So
only one.
Over the years, it's kind of changed, but not really. So my number one, I'll say, is number one in my heart is Buck. Buck has always been my favorite since season one. He dropped the C8 with skeleton key. Granted, the recoil is ridiculous, but I don't know. I just always gravitated to that character. And granted, yes, he is Canadian and he's from Quebec like I am. So it's one of those things where
that's not biased at all.
It's not biased whatsoever, but I don't know what it was. I just liked his play style. aggressive at the right time, you know, a very powerful weapon, a great secondary. Obviously, he brings a lot of utility with the frag grenades. The thing, too, I thought with him is you technically have three guns at all times. Mm-hmm. You have your main, your shotgun, and the sidearm. So there's really never an opportunity where you can't really defend yourself. Like, unlike all their operators, where, like, with Sledge, you have the hammer. Somebody can pop around the corner and get you, whereas Buck has the opportunity to kind of get that kill. So I kind of gravitated him for that reason. And the fact that, like, at the time when he came out, not a lot of people did the horizontal gameplay. He wasn't really used for that too much. But the fact that you could just manipulate everything, you could just blow through walls, you create these sight lines. It was just something that about that character that I was just like, that's my guy. Mm-hmm. And then, so I'll say my number one is Buck. It will always be Buck. I will say for attack. Although I will say later on, I switched to Nook.
Okay.
So I'm not going to say Nook's not my number one because I just recently switched to her, but I've been maining her. But Buck is my number one. Okay. So we'll keep it at that. For defense, it's a tough one. I will say most likely Maestro. Yeah, it's good. Definitely Maestro. So Maestro, I went from a Valkyrie main. I started with Mount Valkyrie. I liked her a lot. But then a lot of people started using her, so I had to, like, you know, because going into, like, public games and stuff like that, sometimes your favorites get picked. So Valkyrie was always the one that was getting picked, and unfortunately, I can't always get her in time, so I had to have a secondary. And then I was fiddling around with some people, but then Maestro got dropped, and not a lot of people liked the LMG. I loved the Alda. Loved it. Even with them taking off the ACOG, potentially, I'm still going to use him. I just love the gun. His gadget is really not as strong as it once was since they nerfed it a long time ago.
Yeah, it's a little easier to Twitch. Get in there now with Twitch and stuff.
Exactly. So you have to be a little creative, but at the same time, if you can put them in, like, really creative places where, like, maybe the Twitch drone was just going to, like, not even look that way. It's going to think it's somewhere else. You can get, like, these interesting sight lines and just, like, intel where they can't really gather anything or they have to waste utility to get it. But it was just more or less like the heavy anchor. I like the heavy anchor role, and Maestro is one of those, like, operators where I can just do that. So I will say Buck and Maestro are my two.
Excellent. Excellent. Okay. So now that we know a little bit about you, let's start talking some things that are happening. So we've got some kind of fresh off the press leaks for year five that have been coming in. So these have been coming in. They're over on, like, Windows Central and PC Gamer, and there's just a lot of places that have written articles about them. So they're definitely out in the wild now. And these are unconfirmed, like, leaks, rumors, what have you. But they do come from a source that has leaked before and has proven to be accurate on the leaks provided. So there's a lot of credibility behind it. So when PC Gamer writes up an article about this, or Windows Central writes up an article about this, the source that they're citing is somebody that has kind of gotten it right in the past, right? Yeah. So even though it's unconfirmed, there's something to it.
Yeah, they take it with a pinch of salt, but yeah, you're probably going to get this. Like, right. This is what it's going to be. Yeah.
Right. So I'll just kind of go over, like, the highlights, and then we can kind of break down just maybe some individual thoughts after that. So some of the first initial information we have is that there is going to be a map vote or map ban kind of a system coming into play, that there is going to be replays, nothing more beyond that, just replays, that we are going to get a Tachanka rework, and that apparently he will have the LMG as a primary. AKA kind of like how Maestro has the LMG primary, and has a new unknown type of incendiary gadget instead of the turret. Then there is apparently the two new operators. They did have some names that were leaked for them. I don't really know how to pronounce them, so I'm just going to call the first one Kool-Aid Man. Apparently he uses his body to bash through walls. And that sounds, like, really strange at first, but I guess essentially think of the cover art of Siege, right? I mean, they're bursting through, like, there's an operator bursting through the wall with the team behind him.
That's true.
So essentially,
can they please call him Rhino?
No, it's like some, like, Russian European name or something like that. I don't know, but so that's an interesting one, and it's on defense. It's not on attack, which is really interesting because defense doesn't have a way to make those same kind of holes that Sledge can do on attack, and now they might. We'll talk about that more in a second.
Yeah, we'll keep going.
And then the last one is that there is some kind of an attacker operator. This is the female attacker, and she'll be almost like something kind of like Alibi in that she controls holograms somehow. There's really no explanation for what that is. The leaker didn't really give a whole lot of extra info, but I don't know if she manipulates or controls, or maybe it's a moving hologram. Maybe it's a drone that projects one upward and it looks like it's moving. I'm not really sure.
Okay.
And then we also know that in addition to that, coming into year five, we will also be getting, there's only going to be 6 ops instead of 8. That has been confirmed. And so we think that possibly that there will still be like 8 operators, right? But like how they changed up their formula for maps last year, instead of doing a new map every season, they did it one map and then 3 seasons worth of reworks. So that maybe there's 6 new operators, and then 2 of the 8 are actually going to be rework operators, knowing that this T'Chanka seems to be getting a very substantial rework. So maybe that's sort of the plan there, is that 6 new ones plus 2 rework, like major rework operators.
Okay. No, that makes sense.
So
that in the grand scheme of things, that's the smart way to go.
Mm-hmm.
If you just keep throwing these operators in there, there's going to be some balance changes, and this is going to really sway. Whereas there's T'Chanka being one of them and Castle being the other. There's 2 clear operators that need some help. You know, like you said, we're going to get 8. We might get 8. But 2 of them already exist. They're just going to get complete reworks. So.
Right. The only thing I have to say about that is that, and people are going to be kind of upset about that. And it's a little confusing on 2 fronts. The first front it's confusing on is that they have this goal of reaching 10 years worth of they want to reach 100 operators, right? And so that's like a 10-ish year game plan. And so obviously if you're now going from 8 released operators a year down to 6, you're stretching out that game plan of how long that's going to be substantiated to continue to. And they say repeatedly they want to get to 100 operators. It's not like they mentioned it once and they're like, oh, well, I don't know, we take it back. Like, they keep saying it year after year for the last couple of years. So that's sort of interesting on that front. But the other thing is that as part of the season pass, you get a $30 season pass, you get early access to 8 operators as part of that. And so now it's like, well, if there's only 6 operators, is that season pass still worth $30? So are they going to bring the price of that season pass down to reflect that change in value? Or are they going to offer something else up for it instead? We already know that it looks like they're not mentioning the 600 rainbow credits that might typically come with a season pass for this one. And so, if you're not getting the 600 rainbow credits, if you're getting 6 operators instead of 8, does this become a $20 season pass instead of a $30 season pass? Or are they going to throw something else in there that they haven't yet announced? Sort of some things to think about.
Yeah, no, lots of stuff to think about. So there's a lot to go through with that, with everything there. So let's start at number 1 being the map vote bans that's been leaked. That's a big one. I think that's something that's been desperately needed for a lot, like I say a year or if not more. It's so frustrating to, as you know, when we and you play, we'll be going on a roll, and then all of a sudden, we'll get kind of like the more meta, places. We'll get Clubhouse here, we'll get, a couple of maps here and there. But then all of a sudden, Skyscraper rolls in. It's like, well, how are we supposed to do this? And then it's one of those maps where you just instantly don't want to play it. So this will be something that, in my opinion, has been needed for a long time. And it gives the players kind of the opportunity, because, like, I would assume that the people on their team are like, I don't want to play this either. So, you can be like, do we want to play the new canal map, or do we want to play, Clubhouse, or do we want to play, Consulate? It gives us so much more option to kind of like, we can feel like Pro League in the sense of being like, oh, we can ban this one, or let's ban this one, or you know what I mean? So it gives the players much more options, which is always a good thing.
Well, some interesting things that I have to say about this is that, first of all, the leaker referred to it as a map vote and also a map ban, which are actually 2 substantially different things, right? If you think of a map vote system, that would be something like, at least for me, brings to mind something like a Call of Duty game or something like that, where you get two maps that come up on screen, map A, map B, and then everybody mm-hmm. hits a button for one or votes for the other one, depending on what they like. And if it's a split, then you can, there's also like that third option to essentially like, okay, if you don't like A and you don't like B, then option three is to randomize.
Yeah.
So that would be like a map vote kind of a thing, right? But if it's a map ban, are we talking about something where the round or the match launches, you don't know what the map is, and then it's like a map ban, like the operator ban phase, where like each team says, okay, you know, skyscraper out, and then the other mm-hmm. one's like, you know, tower out, or like whatever the map pool is, right? Yep. And then so then it randomizes, but like those two maps, or maybe it lets each team pick two maps or something, I don't know. But like then those two maps or four maps or whatever it is will not come up out of the possibilities. So that would be a map ban versus a map vote. Mm-hmm. So there's some interesting differentiation there.
I think they're in different modes. Map vote, it will be exactly what it is. It's your vote between three things like the old Call of Duty, but that's in casual. So that's going to be the casual thing. Map ban is going to be the ranked one, and I think it's going to work the exact way you said it was. Here's all the maps. Each team gets to ban three of them. These are the maps that are in the rotation. Each team bans two or three of them. Once you ban two or three of them, then the game starts, randomizes, picks a map. There you go. It's between all the maps that you guys wanted to play. Here you go. And you get to play on – it's still randomized, but you banned the ones that you know you don't want to play. Like I don't want to play New Cafe. I don't want to play Skyscraper. I don't want to play Canal, or I don't want to play Consulate. Those three have been banned, and then the other team bans theirs. And then it's probably a selection of, I think, three or four. So it just kind of randomizes between those three, and that's what you play in ranked.
So your position is that it may not be map vote or map ban, but that it could be map vote and map ban depending on which mode you play?
Yes. That makes sense to me, right? Because they're trying to make, or they are making, I shouldn't say they're trying to make, they've kind of implemented it. Ranked is more pro league style. You get your operator bans, you get the 3-minute timer, you get bomb only, you'd get all the things that they get in pro league. The one thing that they haven't had is a map ban, which is what they do in Pro League. And
there's some other variations too, but
the breaking it down, simplifying it, it is your map banning. Whereas in casual, people don't play casual, they shouldn't be playing that to play it like Pro League. They're playing 4-minute rounds, they're playing, you know, house once in a while, they're playing, you know, they're not playing to do that. They're playing for a different reason. So Here's the map bans. We'll give you three options. One of them is a random. Two of them are the next map's options. So I think it'll be both. It's just they will be implemented in different sections.
So here's a question. If mm-hmm. And that's an interesting hypothesis. What if – okay, so let's talk about the map vote. If it's map vote, whether that's the entire game or just casual like you're suggesting or – and it may not be. It may be bans instead of votes. Again, the language is a little unclear. But if it's map vote – do you think that that removes the need for limited map pools anymore because people are already making choices on their own?
In casual, no. In casual, it should be – it'll just randomize it. So when you get in – like, you know, when you go find matchmaking and it gives you like the list of everybody that's in the match, mm-hmm. Before that launches, it'll give you – a little thing will pop up at the bottom where it's – one is a question mark, and then there's two options. The game has picked two options, clubhouse and villa. Those are your two options. Let's say four people pick, villa, and then five people pick random. It's just going to randomize it. It's going to go through the entire casual playlist, whatever it might be at the time. Now, if they keep doing what they're doing where they want to implement certain maps at certain points, they can do that. But it just goes through and then it's randomized, but it doesn't pick Villa. So Villa's been taken out. So it goes through all the maps in casual, and there you go. That's what you get.
Okay.
It's kind of like the Call of Duty system, like where, like, when you play a game And then it's like, oh, your next map is this, or random. And then usually people kind of pick their favorite. But I just hope they don't do what Call of Duty did, was the lists were set by kind of like how popular they were. So like if one map kept getting picked, it would always pop up in the rotation. Hopefully they don't do that where it is 100% random.
I agree. And that's significant to me because a lot of different people have different feelings on certain maps. So like you were just referencing a little bit ago, you're like, oh, you know, you're playing this map and then this other map and then Skyscraper comes up and, oh, hate that map. But like, I actually don't hate it that much. So, you know, one person's trash is another person's treasure, right? You know, yeah. Like, a lot of people would argue like, oh, you know, House and Plane are trash maps, and be like, well, if you're playing competitively, they're trash maps. But
yeah.
I actually find them to be a lot of fun because they're very CQB. The firefights are short and intense. The rotations are quick. Like, you're constantly engaging because the map isn't the size of the Labyrinth. You know, so it's like, yeah, it's not balanced. Yeah, it's not competitive. Yeah, it's not Pro League, but it's fun. You know, and other people may completely disagree. So I think when it comes to, as you were saying, like, hopefully it doesn't say like, okay, these are the five most popular maps, so these are the ones that are going to come up like four times more likely than anything else. God, I hope that that doesn't happen, because then what it's doing is it's sort of everything becomes whitewashed.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like everything's sort of the same. And I feel like they've already done that to a certain degree with the game modes. Like ranked is Pro League Lite. Unranked is ranked practice. And casual, now quick match, is like ranked light. So it's like it's like everything kind of becomes homogenized, right?
Yeah.
And you don't get that differentiation of like, hey, casual is like this completely different beast than ranked. It's like, well, no, now they've switched to also having limited map pools and also having a, you know, alternating attack defense instead of, you know, or I'm sorry, not having alternating attack defense anymore, so that they mirror the rank style. And it's like, well, why are you trying to turn it into this other thing? That mode is already that mode. Stop making this like a light version of that mode. And if they do something like that with map selection, where it's like, okay, these are the most popular ones, so these are the ones that might come up more frequently in map votes, then I would feel like that would be just sterilizing things too much.
Yeah, no, I 100% agree, because what I meant by the Skyscraper thing, by the way, is in ranked. Like, I hate playing it in ranked casual. I love it. It's awesome. But moving on to the actual question, it's I do agree they shouldn't saturate it. Casual or quick play should feel more casual. They have to figure out ways to make it more casual. A lot of people are like, oh, why don't they make it the 3-minute timer like ranked? Well, no, that's not the point of this game mode. This game mode here is for people to come in, because this game, even though it has like, what, 50 million people on it now?
Well, I mean, let's be honest, 20 million of those are Smurfs.
Fair enough. But even that, people are still coming into this game like very new. And there's people who don't play ranked at all, which that's the great thing about, like, I guess, games in general. You go into them, you find what you like, and you play it. Like, Siege is an amazing game to the point where, like, you can do so much with a map that it's scary. But some people don't like the competitiveness, so they go to quick play just to play the game. I want to do silly things. I want to try and get an ace with just a pistol. And if I do that in ranked, people are going to get pretty mad. Where if I do that in quick play, people are not going to get mad. People are just going to be playing. But if they sterilize it and they keep doing that, it's going to, like you said, it's going to gravitate to being ranked light. Whereas in reality, they should be doing everything in their power to make quick play more casual. Like, I don't know what else you could do other than like make it give it more time or.
Right. Well, it's like, isn't that the purpose of unranked, is to already to be able to like do ranked stuff without putting your rank on the line? So if you've already got like a ranked practice mode, why do you need to make casual? And I think, by the way, I think it's adorable that you've changed to calling it the new quick match. And I'm just like, no, it's casual. Leave it alone.
Well, that's what I was going to say, casual. But some people, like, there's going to be somebody out there be like, does he mean quick match? ! You know what I mean.
For me, it's a conscious decision. Like, I refuse to give it casual, like that. Damn. Yeah, like, I'm not validating it by calling it quick match. Damn it, it's casual.
Real to me, damn it. No, but like, yeah, it's they have to make it more casual. Whereas unranked is where people should go to warm up, to test strategies, to test strats, to test different ideas that work in ranked. It's a competitive setting where you can, you know, because if you're going into ranked, you're going in with at minimum 2 to 3 people. And there's usually has to be some sort of synergy of what one person is doing to the other person. There's a reason why we picked a Jaeger. There's a reason why we picked an Ella. And there's a reason why we picked a Rook. There's reason behind all that. Whereas in casual, there should be zero reason for anything. Like, you know what I mean? Like, there shouldn't be – like, if I'm playing Favela, I'm not going super meta setup. Like, I'm going, you know, I'm going to go Rook with the P90 and the red dot sight with a silencer. That's my what I'm doing. Like, I'm not doing anything in this mode to sweat, to be competitive. People should go into casual to play casually. That's what it's called. That's what it was called for years, damn it. And unranked is where you go with your friends to be like, hey, I have this idea for this setup for Clubhouse Basement. It's a weird one. I don't want to risk our ranks. Let's go do that.
And you know what I mean? Let's also not forget that you always have custom match available to be able to like test out concepts too. That yeah. Granted, you're not testing them against another team, but you are, you know, testing like, you know, what does it look like if I try this? And okay, that's what the setup looks like. Now let's run it, you know, and
yeah, things exactly. like that. Yeah, there's stages, right? You build it, you test it in a competitive setting to figure out where the flaws are. And then you go back, you fix it, and then you go back in to see where the flaws are, if they've been fixed or if there's been new ones that have been opened up. That's the thing with Siege. That's how these pros do their thing. They go and they do this, and then they practice, and then they go do this, and then they practice again. Casual has to stay casual. Like, don't limit map pools. Do not make it 3-minute timers. Do not put like a map ban system. Put a map vote system that I get to pick if I want to. I don't feel like playing Favela today.
For sure.
I can ban that. And oh, let's just all pick random. Let's see what we get. You know what I mean? It becomes something that's more fun rather than somebody going in. It's like, I want only meta. So. But other than that, though, yeah, that's my thought on that one. So
for sure. Okay, so the next one on the list is replays. Now, literally, the leak just said the word replays. So we don't know exactly what that's going to look like other than that somehow there's going to be replays. Mm-hmm. So what do you think that'll bring to a game like Siege? What do you think that means?
So it's weird how I think of this. I think of this as something – it's going to be – remember in Call of Duty – I keep bringing up Call of Duty. Call of Duty had a system back in Black Ops, the first one, where you could play a match and then you could go back and watch that match through your perspective, the teammate's perspective, the enemy's perspective, or a free cam. So I think it's going to be – kind of like that, but not as advanced. So I think it will be a setup where you can go into free cam like you can in spectator mode or anything like that. I don't think you can go into your teammates. If they do that, that's awesome. But I think it's going to be something that is going to be implemented at the end of a game, casual or not. Usually, you know how we have the thing at the end. It's like, you know, you see everybody's score, what got people did. Before the game, so that's just going to play in the background, and then it'll give you the things at the bottom saying, you know, play, you know, another game, exit, and then there'll be another one that says save replay. Mm-hmm. You can save the replay, and then you can go back. So if you get a sweet ace, rather than worrying about hitting the button as fast as you can or making sure your shadow play is on, it's there.
Right.
You can literally go back and watch it and send it, show it to your friends.
I agree. I feel like that's probably – we're envisioning the same thing.
Yeah.
But just to kind of like, you know, think about other concepts that it could possibly be. What if it were something like, we already know that Siege has the ability to record when the game first was in beta, they had a timeline that would come up and show like a timeline from the entire, you know, 0 minutes to 4 minutes, whatever the round length was, 0 minutes to 3 minutes, you know, whatever. And it would show on there how far you went until you got killed. And then the timeline, like, yes. you know, just kind of like was grayed out after that point for your character. And you saw all 10 people, you know, and so you'd see, you know, it's just, it was like this bar graph of where everybody died at the exact point in time. Mm-hmm. So what if it was something like at the end of the match, or no, not at the end of the match, at the end of any given round, where it might play, I mean, it wouldn't go through all of them because that would be kind of too much, but it might pull like the top three or whatever. And just sort of like replay, you know, cause like how you get that replay cam at the end, like the last kill, it just shows like the last 20 seconds before the kill occurred. So what if it pulls like three or four of those and just like real quick, like montage, you know, like, you know, kill, you know, just sort of a thing, you know, so let's like replay as if like you were watching a sporting event, getting the highlight replays. What if that's what it meant?
It could be that. That's where my head was at the like at the end of the screen where it shows your thing playing in the background. I was thinking more like from the beginning to the end, but yeah, that actually makes a lot more sense. It's like just like they do in Pro League when they're doing kind of like the end of the game and it shows like the plays of the game. Yeah, you pick like two or three out of that, and it gives you like, you know, quick snaps or I don't know if it should be on like the winning team or like it should just be everybody, but
or maybe it's just like the last four kills of the game or whatever, because clearly like as the round draws to a conclusion, that's typically when things are a little bit more intense.
Yeah.
So, you know, maybe it's doing that or whatever. Now, that being said, I do kind of hope it's the idea that you mentioned initially, because that's kind of what I'm also hoping for, is because I think it's really, not only is it cool, but it's also super instructional to go back through a round and be able to say like, oh, yes, I can see now this is how I did what I did or whatever. And yeah, if I hadn't done that, it's a teaching thing at that point.
Yeah, exactly. You can learn from it. And I think it's because, you know, as we know, Rainbow Six has been, you know, kind of – it really – I want to say it in the nicest way possible, but it's going to sound so rude when I say it. It caters to the Pro League. They have for a long time. And that's not necessarily a bad thing. It's not a bad thing by any means.
Depending on your perspective.
Depending on your perspective. It depends on your perspective. But, like, it's brought a lot of good things. It has brought some bad things, but it has brought a lot of good things. I think it's more or less in the case of helping the pros, because when they do their scrims or they do this, they have to go back and watch the VODs, which doesn't tell you a whole lot. It just tells you have to watch every single person individually, but you kind of get a rough idea of a first person view of where these guys are until some of the you know, the caster goes to third person, and then you can kind of see, oh, well, you may be out of position here. Where this gives them the tool to go back and say, okay, let's analyze that game. Let's see what I did. And they zoom out and they see where everybody went. It's like, okay, yeah. And it allows for a little bit more strategy of like you can have the layout of the map in, you know, like the classic Madden football X's and O's.
Right, it would basically be like spectator mode, but that you can rewind it and view it through any of those perspectives, whether it's overhead or through any of the 10 players. And so you're not just seeing it through your own eyes. You know, you can see, oh, that's what that guy did to flank me, to rotate, to do whatever. That's how he pulled it off. Now I know what I should do differently in that situation next time so that doesn't happen.
Now I know he's a cheater, and I'm going to message him.
I mean, that could be handy also.
Yeah, no, and that's the thing too, right? It gives a lot of people, and even like people like yourself, like content creators, it gives you guys so much more freedom where you can go back, like for like when you're making your breakdown videos of their gadgets and stuff, like you can film it, go back, watch it, and then you can have this cool view of yourself doing something without having to worry about like angles or having somebody else watch it from the other side, just in case, you know, because there's been times where, like, you know, I know you need some extra people and there's only two of us, so we need to do this and do that. We kind of lose an extra pair of eyes, whereas this way, if you only need two people, we don't need to bug anybody else, or you know what I mean? It gives you guys – it gives so much more freedom to a lot more people. So right. I think it's a great – I think if they implement it that way, it's going to be the next big thing. It's going to be the next best thing that Siege has done.
Yeah, absolutely. I
agree. That's a big one for me.
I agree. I hope that that is the way that they go for sure on what this is. Mm-hmm. So the next item on the list is the Tachanka rework. So LMG primary, right? I think that's a totally smart decision because –
I called it.
Maestro is – well, and you and I actually had a big discussion about this. I remember when – Maestro first came out, and we had this, like, we were going to do this whole thing of, like, even making a video about it, and we never wound up doing it, but it would have been epic. But, I mean, essentially, like, Maestro is just a better Tachanka in literally every single possibility. So he's got that mobile LMG. So now Tachanka sounds like he's going to get that mobile LMG. So that's great. But then what does that do? So there's some new unknown type of possible incendiary gadget. We don't know what it looks like, what it does. Okay, let's hear what your idea is.
I think I know what it is.
Okay.
Okay. Let's hear it. So, I called this years ago. I think this was back when they first, like, had that, like, secret, there's a secret picture of Tachanka in the background holding his turret with a giant shield from Blackbeard in his face. I remember it. I was like, and everyone's like, oh, I don't think that's going to be enough. And I distinctly remember messaging you being like, man, it would have been so much better if they gave him his LMG as a primary. And I had that every time a Tachanka rework came up. Give him his LMG as a primary. I've been saying this for years, and they're finally doing it. I'm going to say they hacked my phone. They took my idea, and I'm pretty sure I messaged Ubisoft on this one too. So if they took my idea, I am 100% taking credit for this if it happens. I will message them and say I get royalties and everything.
Good luck with that.
Never going to see a dime from them. But I think it's a great idea. The incendiary part is I don't think it is it is what we think it is. So Tachanka's whole thing is to hold down corridors, to hold down the original concept of him was to you put your turret down, you are blocking a hallway, nobody gets past you. That was the idea. It didn't really happen, but that was the idea. So now that he has the LMG as a primary, this incendiary thing will not be something you throw at enemies, or it is something you lay for enemies. It is going to work in the way of similar to Maverick. You're going to place this on a wall. It's going to cut a hole that you can mount. So you can mount, you can reinforce a wall that it has, like, you know, a sight line. You place this on the wall where you want your sight line to be. It opens this hole, and Tachanka will then mount that hole. And therefore, he has clear sight of, let's say, the best example might be, trying to think of possibly a map this might work on. I know it. So let's say, what is it? Consulate. You're in basement. You're holding basement. Rather than blowing a hole in the wall, like a soft wall that people can shoot through, you reinforce in garage. You blow open the far section by white van. So therefore you can see into kitchen down that kind of like, the back stairwell hallway. And then all of a sudden where that hatch is over by the front door. So you blow open that, you lay your Tachanka turret there. You can see down the corridor. You can see through the door, down the corridor, and you can see if that hatch gets blown. And anybody who walks in the room, you have full control over, and you have the protection of the truck behind you. And therefore, if they do get rid of you, they have this small hole that, granted, it can work both ways, but you can't go through it. Like, you can't breach that. It's a hole that you can only see through. So you're still kind of at a disadvantage. So I think his incendiary thing is something to create sight lines.
Okay. Interesting. And I'm going to go ahead and disagree with you. And yeah. Because I think that the concept that you're talking about reintroduces the fatal flaw of Tachanka, in that he's attached to a fixed position, and that's where he always gets wasted from, because he's known locked down position. So rather than that, I'm going to go back to what you said, because I do agree with how he was originally intended to lock down a zone, right? Like, I've got this field of fire set up, this lethal kill zone, you shall not pass. But if he's mobile with the LMG, that no longer applies in that way, but his gadget might. And that's where I think maybe it's something so incendiary. What if it's as simple as something where he throws, maybe it's an impact grenade kind of a thing, and now the floor is coated with this flammable substance, right? And so now he's got that LMG, and now if somebody comes into that zone and he wants to lock that zone down, he just sparks it off by maybe there's some kind of an igniter or maybe there's maybe it's just as simple as possibly shooting it. I don't know.
Like a Capitel bolt, but you throw it.
Well, but it's pre-placed, right? Or maybe, maybe you could. Well, it's like any trap, like a nitro cell or a smoke gas grenade. Like you could pre-place it, or you could reactively throw it. But regardless, it covers this predefined area, and then when it's set off, because we know it's incendiary in some fashion, right? That's what the leak says. That it then has that zone control. Okay, here's a region you can't pass through. Now, it would probably function a little bit like a defensive version of a Capito or a smoke or something where it's more area denial, but it still gets into that, like, okay, now I've set up an unpassable zone and still kind of sort of gets near the mark of his initial intent of locking down an area without the fatal flaw of being immobilized. What do you think?
That's a very viable one as well. It's like I said, it's like basically like a mix of smoke and Capitao where he throws it and it can deny an area, which again, that's his main purpose is deny area. But it could be a multitude of things, right? Mm-hmm. Like I think
no matter what we think, we're both going to be wrong.
Mine locks him down again, but as he can just mount it, and I think if they do it correctly, where he mounts it and dismounts it very quickly, that's the glory of having his LMG, right? Like he can just hold the angle. He doesn't necessarily have to be mounted, but then he locks down that area. He is now the one thing. It's kind of like what a lot of people do, right? With Maestro, you hold down that long angle, whereas now you have Tachanka. It could be that. It could be something you throw. So it could be something that we even haven't even mentioned. But
oh, like I said, whatever it is, we're both going to be wrong, whatever it is.
It's interesting that he gets – it's warping my mind slightly that he gets a physical gadget now. You know what I mean? Unconfirmed. I'm going to – everything I say is technically unconfirmed, but I'm just going to say it as it is going to happen. But – it's so weird because we've been used to him just sitting there for 4 years straight. So it's like, oh man, he gets something he can use. This is just going to be so weird. But it'll be interesting. I do like the idea though of him having the LMG as a primary. I think that's a great idea.
Yes.
I'm going to actually really enjoy that, which now that as a Maestro main, I can may have two people I can kind of flip between and depending what they do with, I don't know how the big, I can't remember what that gun is called.
It's like DP-46 or something like that.
Yeah.
I'm probably a little wrong, but.
With the big plate magazine. Mm-hmm. Like, unless they make it like an actual like box magazine off to the side or something, that might be kind of weird to shoot just because you got this big plate in your face and it's constantly turning.
Well, either that or they could do extended iron sights, and so even if you put a hollow or a reflex on it, then it just sits higher. So then you're kind of over that the dinner plate magazine, as you say. Mm-hmm. There's all kinds of ways to do it. So
yeah, there's a couple. Now the big question, the biggest question that everybody's going to ask, are they going to change his operator video?
I don't see that they would. They haven't given us a new operator since video since launch. Even though they always come out with what could be operator videos as the operator teasers, but they never put them in the game.
I know. No, they don't do that. Like, I remember I asked them, are you guys ever going to put a buck one? And they're like on Reddit and they're like, no, we have no intention of doing that. And I was like, oh,
talking about, like putting stuff in the game over time that just accumulates, like having, 100 operator videos, by the end of 10 years, it'd probably take up a lot of space anyway. But
well, the game already is like 160 gigs now, because considering it, we started off as a 70 gig game. It's grown. It's grown a lot.
It has grown.
But yeah, that's my thoughts. Like the LMG, don't know what the incendiary thing is. I kind of like your idea a little bit more than mine, but we'll have to wait and see if that's ever going to happen.
So as we go into new operators then, so we've got these rumored operators. So let's talk about these a little bit more. So who I'm essentially calling Kool-Aid Man, right? The defender that uses his body to bash through walls. I am super psyched about this. Because I, for the longest time, have been the biggest proponent of having there's just a need on defense to be able to shape the map a little bit more effectively than what you can do now. Because right now you're using your utility to do it. You're spending your impact grenades or your nitro cells that now you're using them as tools and you can't use them when Monty comes in the room because you used it to connect the walls between Bomb A and Bomb B, you know? Mm-hmm. So now, like, you lost that ability to respond offensively because you had to use it as a tool instead of as a weapon. Likewise, you'll have operators that will take shotguns that they're taking the shotgun not because it's necessarily the best weapon. They're using their secondary as the primary for combat engagements, but they're using the shotgun as a tool to shape the environment because it's not as easy for defense to inflict that structural change on a map as attack. Attack has buck and sledge and breaching charges and frag grenades and, you know, hibanas and thermites and Sophia and so many other things, right? So the attackers can shape the map all they want, seemingly with ease. And defenders have to sort of spend offensive slots to use them as tools.
Yeah. And it's not a balanced system in the sense of considering defense is heavily dependent on how you shape the map to your advantage.
Right, right. It's so critical to setting up defense. In fact, that's one of the reasons why I will sometimes pick Maestro, is that sometimes I'll, on purpose, take that AA-12, and it's just like, okay, we are deleting these three walls. Not necessarily because that shotgun is so fantastic. I mean, I've gotten, you know, some pretty fun kills with it, but it's so useful to shape that environment. So now here, if you have this Kool-Aid Man guy, who is essentially like, I mean, you know, we're thinking of him as a defensive sledge. So, you know, you don't need to spend your impact grenades and your nitro cells or force yourself to take a primary shotgun and then rely on your, you know, pocket SMG as your actual primary. You've got this guy who can go around and be like, okay, I'm taking out this wall and opening up this passage and making this, you know, access path through here for defense before, you know, the attackers even get into the building. We've shaped our environment to suit a strat, and that's his utility. That I think is really cool.
Now, the question lies, A, how big are the holes he is making? Is he making them door size, or is he making them a little bit bigger?
Well, it's saying that he's bursting through the wall, right? And again, I'm picturing like the cover art of Siege, where they have the shield operator that's just kind of bashing through the wall. And like, is he doing this with a shield? Do we have, like, besides Clash now, are we going to have a second shield operator on defense? I don't know.
Ooh,
or is it not? And he maybe just has some kind of a battering ram that's, like, you know, 3 feet long or whatever. And he just sort of, you know, crashes through that. And then that makes like a sledge size hole instead.
I just pictured him running through it. Like, he has no gadget.
Just like a juggernaut.
just bashes through the wall. With his shoulder, maybe there's something on his, maybe who knows, maybe there's something in his armor. Like, there's three canisters on his upper tricep that are sticking out, and when he bashes into the wall with one of them, like, one of them will hit, blows open the wall.
Some kind of impact piston or something?
Yeah, something like that, where you have three of them, you have three charges, you make three holes. Who knows? I personally think it's probably going to be like an actual sledge. It's going to be like an actual utility utensil thing where he can smash through, but the full animation is him blowing through the wall with it.
Right.
Maybe it's like some sort of like, because they're kind of going futuristic, where like he pulls out this device. It's kind of shaped, you know, like a big square or something like that, and then he like just presses it against the wall and blows through it, and like you have three charges, something like that. There's a lot to be. I just want him to call him Rhino, like from Spider-Man. Like,
yeah,
just do that. Oh, just that's what he does. He has a giant suit like Rhino. He runs through the wall.
How cool would it be too? So like that's talking about the utility value, like the defensive setup value of it, but also like, and who knows how many uses of it he might get. I mean, Sledge has 25 uses, so, you know, I don't know, is this guy going to have three, or is he going to have 10, or, you know, like, who knows? Yeah,
the fairness of balance, I think three or four is, it makes, because this guy's just running through every wall in the game, it's kind of like, oh, okay.
Right, for sure. But, I mean, I think of a scenario like, I don't know, like you were just talking Skyscraper, so for some reason Skyscraper is just sort of stuck in my head at this point. But, so, you know, like, say this guy is holding down Geisha, right? The objective is tea room. Offense hops in. They're in karaoke and they're beginning to pin down, you know, whatever defender might be at the top of the stairs. They're trying to make the push against the door that's there. And all of a sudden, this dude just Kool-Aid Man bursts through the wall from Geisha into into karaoke behind them and pulls off the flank through the wall like the Hulk. I mean, like, that would be epic.
That would be pretty sweet. I just thought of something as you were saying that, though. What if his gadget is chargeable?
Okay.
So you hold it down. If you hold it down slightly, he doesn't go through the wall. He makes a hole. He makes a big hole.
Like a shotgun hole or something.
Kind of, yeah, like a shotgun hole or like a pistol, like Maestro's, bailiff just shoots like a that size hole. You hold it down a little bit more and it blows a bigger hole, like like an impact size hole. And then if you hold it down all the way and just let it release on its own, then you create a ash size hole.
Mm-hmm.
Give them the opportunity to make, tiny little holes or, bigger holes. Give them granted, you could probably just punch a hole a little bit bigger, but give them something that where like he can manipulate it in his own way.
Yeah.
Don't just charge through holes. You can charge through a hole by holding down the button for about 2 seconds. Or if you just click it, you'll do a little hole. If you click it or hold it and then click it, you know what I mean? Like let it go. You do something along that lines.
Yeah.
That could be interesting as well.
Yeah. So then we've got
One last thing. I want them to hopefully they give him the AA-12 as well.
You just want nothing left standing, huh?
He deletes everything.
That could be a little overpowered, but okay.
Or because they're giving everybody slug rounds. Well, AA-12 is slug rounds.
We actually do know the weapons that he's getting, and we'll get to that one in just a little bit, but we actually know the weapons he's getting.
Yes.
So the next one that is rumored to be coming out is an attack operator that controls holograms somehow. So I don't know exactly what this is going to be like. It sounds like a variation on Alibi, who is, of course, a defender mm-hmm. that plants holograms. And, those don't necessarily do all that much as far as fooling people that's really Alibi, but what they're really great for is like blocking sight lines. You put them on a window and all of a sudden you can't see past the hologram and there's all kinds of different things you can do with them. But so having a variation of some kind of hologram thing on attack, and it sounds like she can control it. So I'm almost picturing like having like a Twitch drone that has a projector that emits the hologram up. So it still works like Alibi, like it's projecting a figure upward,
mm-hmm.
but then she can drive the drone around. So this takes her out of combat when she's doing it. In order to do it, she's like, on her drone, she's vulnerable, but then maybe it's the kind of thing where like, if you're not paying a lot of attention, defense sees that motion and thinks it's a running person and, it tricks them into maybe, shooting at it or going after it, revealing their position or something like that. Yeah. Just as an idea, like I have no idea how she actually does it, but that's just sort of the first thing that popped in my head.
Yeah. Now, 100%. Like, and that's kind of where my mind's going. I'm going to a very similar idea where like she moves it, but my head's going in a different spot. Like the thing with Alibi was meant to do something like to trick people, but the thing with it being at only default skin and all that stuff, it kind of she devolved into a lesion. Like a lesion kind of thing where like a lot of people placed them near random windows. So when they shot open windows or people broke open windows, they get spotted and then you kind of get an idea of where everybody's coming from. So it just gives the intel in a different way. This character, I was thinking, because as soon as I seen a hologram, I was like, it didn't work the first time. How is it going to work the second time? But as they're going to move, I was thinking of it as a Ying grenade or Ying's candela, where she tosses it down or can throw it in a direction. Not really throw it, but roll it in a direction. Hologram pops up in a running motion, and then it just kind of drives forward. It keeps going forward until it hits a wall, then it's done. So if you want roll it down a hallway, it's going to send this hologram up. It's going to run down the hallway, and then the enemy thinks, oh, okay, like there's somebody running down the hallway. But once they're looking or if they start shooting at it, you come around the corner. And then you can take them out because you've seen where they're shooting from. It gives you a little bit of a heads up, but they have to make it similar to the Alibi where it's only the default skin, mm-hmm. right? It's only something – it's something that distinguishes it. So it tricks your brain in a panic situation where you're like, oh, was that – I can't – and then you're second guessing and that's when she can take advantage. Where I think maybe – not have it give it or don't give it a ping system, but make it a little bit more realistic. That I feel like that's a trade-off.
Okay. That's interesting. I can see some stuff with that. I do know that the whole thing of Alibi having it only be the default skin is that it would create problems. And I do actually know, I mean, this isn't just taking their word for it, but I do actually know that it would create some issues as far as like having memory loaded for all of her uniforms and headgear combinations to have those pop up as possibilities for the hologram. And it would launch, it would, you know, choose those like pre-game or whatever. But then it's like a low... It's a low poly version of the high poly model, right? Mm-hmm. For those people that know what 3D modeling, you know, talks about. So it's like a higher resolution character model for the player, but then a much, much, much more simplified version of the character model for the hologram. So to have like those multiple versions of every uniform and headgear combination are just, it's not feasible.
No, that I understand. That I know why they did it. And especially because of the whole Hibana situation from a long time ago with the whole memory cap and all that stuff. So I understand that. And it's actually a good balance thing. It makes sense.
Right, right. And it does, you're right, it does have some built-in balance to being able to do that. So it'll be really interesting to see what those operators can kind of bring to the table and do. Now, I did mention that we know what their weapons are going to be. And this is an interesting thing that happened. A few test server sessions back, they wound up putting in the guns that were going to be used in this new season. They had placeholders on them for when you would try to apply some of the universal weapon skins. And there's a little black placeholder. And it said something, I forget exactly what it said, but it said something like, reserved for Y1S1 ATK or Y1S1 DEF. So, like, this weapon is reserved for year one, season one attacker, right? And it was only on a couple of guns. So you could go through and you could essentially be like, oh, these are the two attacking primaries. These are the shotgun and the SMG for defense. And these are the pistols for attack and defense. Like, somebody left a placeholder in there in the test server session and kind of gave the card deck away. And so everybody could kind of see what was coming up. So because of that, we now know that. So let's talk about Kool-Aid Man here, right? Mm-hmm. He will be getting an MP5. Apparently, we hear it won't have an ACOG. Uh-huh. And he will also be getting the SPAS 12 shotgun.
Okay.
That's for primaries. And then for secondaries, he will have either the Bailiff 410, so Maestro and Alibi's pocket revolver shotgun, or the USP 40. So that is what Kool-Aid Man will have. So sorry, he will not have the AA-12 you just asked for, but he will have the SPAS 12.
See, I don't think people are going to run to that. People are going to go do MP5 Bailiff. That's going to be the meta.
I believe
the meta for him.
I believe so. But Shotgun even with the Bailiff, that's good for, I mean, he's already making holes in all the walls. And now with the Bailiff, he can take out the trapdoor rotations, you know, or he can make little murder holes or whatever. So, I mean, like, he's still going to have a lot of destruction available by the sound of it.
Oh, yeah. You can go full destruction, run shotgun, pistol. But, yeah, like, I like MP5 Bailiff is kind of, like, right where my mind goes.
I agree.
You're going to see a lot of the more competitive people going with.
I agree. And then, so the Alibi attacker person will have her primaries. She will have Ash's G36C. Or Nomad's ARX 200 assault rifle. Both pretty solid choices.
Yeah, it's actually kind of like that's a hard pick. Like G36 is people may go with the G36 because even the ARX on Nomad is it's great. It's an awesome gun. I love it. But usually people just go with the AK or the, you know, just because of the amount of ammo it has. And it makes sense because it has low recoil. It doesn't hit as bad as people think it does.
Well, and the interesting thing with the G36C is, right, that's a gun that Ash has. But most people overwhelmingly choose her R4C. So it winds up being, even though the G36C is a really solid assault rifle, it's overwhelmingly underpicked. So now it might have a little bit more of a chance to shine.
And the thing is, especially with this most recent season, I noticed the way Ubisoft is recycling these weapons is they're recycling them in a way where, like, you're seeing the secondary weapon or secondary choices of more popular operator choices. So, for example, here we see the G36C, not the primary for Ash. Everybody runs R4C. ARX 200, 90% of people run the AK. Bailiff, not so much. Bailiff, people run the Bailiff a lot. MP5, again, a lot of people run that. But SPAS 12, not a lot of people run SPAS 12. The JTF2 pistol, that's kind of like the default on the Canadian operators. So it's kind of the go-to pistol, and it's really good.
But well, yeah, and I hadn't quite gotten that far yet, but you're absolutely right. So the pistol, we should mention before we get any further, is the MK1 9mm, which is, of course, the pistol that both Buck and Frost have access to, otherwise known as the Browning High Power. So that will be the pistol that comes with the new Attacker 2.
Exactly. So I think that's kind of, it's not a bad idea. Like, a lot of people are kind of upset with that they're recycling weapons, which I can see the, why people would be a little upset with that. A lot of people have come to know or come to be like, oh, like a lot of speculation in the forums. I really want to see, like, granted it's already in the game, but like, I remember when people were like, oh, I really will hope to see the Vector, or I want to see, you know, the AK-74U, or I want to see, that was kind of like a part of the hype, right? Like, what gun are they going to add now? But now that you know they're recycled, you just go look through the game and be like, I think they're probably going to put this one in. You know, it takes a little bit of the excitement out, so I understand why people are upset, but I like how they're doing it of throwing in some unpopular weapons that people aren't using, like they brought in the G8, which was not a very popular choice for IQ. And same thing with the AUG. So they brought the AUG onto a character who's, you know, majority defense, but it's definitely something that's now run by him because it's the
It's a really better, interesting choice.
It is a really interesting choice, and it's they're doing it so therefore the weapons that they have put into the game are being used.
Right.
Rather, so these assets that they've put in are like, you know, like out of 10 people, two of them are going to use it. This way, there's operators that distinctly just have these weapons.
Yeah. So thinking about that, knowing that they're probably going to continue this forward a little bit, what other kinds of guns would you like to see them recycle? I think for me, one of my top picks would be the AK-12 Fuses Assault Rifle. Mm-hmm. That is a great assault rifle. I would love to see that redistributed somewhere else. I mean, like, if they're doing that, right?
Yeah. And that's the thing, too. Like, his AK-12 is amazing. Like, it's probably one of the – it's part of, isn't it technically the highest DPS gun in the game?
I don't have stats in front of me. It feels really good, though, when, you know, you're firing with that thing. It's just – it's a good, solid, heavy hitter.
Yeah, it's good. It has a good ammo count. Weapon I might like to see. That's a toughie. I would say the Buck C8 without the skeleton key.
Without the skeleton key, yeah, that'd be cool.
That would definitely be one. Twitch's F2. But I don't know how I feel about that because they already.
I do because I love it. But it does have a bit of a reputation for being a little overpowered with its stability and rate of fire. And I know that they did recently nerf it with both recoil and with magazine size. So considering they're already trying to bring that weapon down, I don't know if we'll see it redistributed. I'd love to have the option to play it on somebody else, but I don't know if that's going to happen.
What's the DMR called? The C
for who?
Twitch.
I forget what it's called. Yeah,
C19 or C18 or something like that. It's that one.
Yeah, they gave it to Lion already.
Yeah, no, but put on more people. And they gave him the CQB shotgun, but I want that on an operator as a primary. Like, that's one of the only guns. Like, hit that gun and another one that's not very viable. Like, give somebody who's designated, because that's the only shotgun that you can put the grip on. Right? Like, that shotgun is so underrated. I love that shotgun. What not shotgun? A lot of people run the CQB. Rook or not Rook. Yeah. Rook.
Oh, Twitch. Right.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. That's such an underrated one. Granted, they have it on four operators already, but like, I think putting it on a primary and then giving somebody like an SMG secondary or something like really mix it up. Like somebody can have a shotgun and a Bandit's MP7. You know what I mean? Like, on the operator at the same time, those kind of guns I would like to see, like definite like crazy mix ups.
Another one I'd like to see get redistributed a little bit is the shotguns from Velvet Shell. Both the primary ITA-12, which is it never gets used because the C7E on Jackal is so good. And then Mira Mains are typically, because there's the option of a secondary shotgun, you never take the primary because you've already got the secondary. But if you gave that the longer shotgun to somebody that didn't have a secondary shotgun option, it might become a lot more usable. That'd be cool.
Yeah, that would be an amazing one.
And I'd also like to see that secondary ITA-12S make an appearance again, because having that pocket shotgun is so handy. I just wouldn't put it on an operator that also had the ITA-12 longer version. You know, having both on the same character just kind of proves so redundant that nobody ever runs it on Mira. But, you know, having operators, like, I mean, I love Mozzie so much. Because it's like, yes, he's got the little pocket shotgun. He can throw the hatches open. You know, he can rotate all over the place. And he still has that great primary SMG.
Yeah. Another good one, too. I keep going to the French operators. The P90. Definitely one that I feel is... It's used, but it's used as, like, a joke. I really want them to bring it out for somebody who's just, like, that's them. That's their weapon.
I wouldn't even mind seeing that getting added for Warden.
Warden. Another underrated one would be the, what is it, the 9X19S or a VSN Cap Cannon's gun.
Yes. That is a pretty decent SMG as well.
But do what they did with Jackal. Have that gun, give it a drum mag, put it on attack.
Interesting.
Yes.
What would you think about, and there's been some discussion about, like, why didn't they do this for Nuck, as long as they were going to give Nuck a Defender SMG, but what would you think about seeing Echo's MP5 SD with ACOG and an integral suppressor on attack?
Ooh.
Or even just giving it to Nuck and just getting rid of the FMG9, I don't know, but, like if you're going to give an attacker a Defender SMG...
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean,
I feel like Nuck, if she's going to get another weapon, it has to be a one-handed weapon. It can't be something that, like, you know, the FNJ, like, it's a Glock 19, 18. It's a Glock in a casing. It's a one-handed weapon. The shotgun, not so much, but it's a smaller shotgun. Like, I feel like she would have to have something like, she'd have to have something like, I don't know, like. Like I said, Bandit's MP7, like a modified version of like a Mozzie's Commando or you know, something small if they're going to give her something. But an MP5 SD on attack would actually be really cool for a different stealth operator. Like Nuck is a stealth operator in the sense of the word, but she really isn't because her ability is really touch and go. But if they had an operator that, like, I don't know, like Ninja Vanished or something, like just like, you know, hit something, like hit a button and, you know, then all of a sudden a big smoke cloud came up. You know what I mean? And then like, you're like, oh crap, like you don't have to throw it. You just click a button and then all of a sudden, poof, there's a big smoke thing. You can run the other way. Something like that. So
yeah.
I think that would be pretty cool to have. Like something like that, like an SD, MP5 SD on a very super stealthy operator.
Yeah. Well, and I feel like that's kind of what Nuck supposed to be. Mm-hmm. But I, you know, either way, we're going to find out all of this information, you know, from the unconfirmed stuff to the stuff that we do know is coming pretty soon, because the Invitational is coming up very, very quickly here. Another, you know, week and a half here, a little bit more than that. And then we'll get the reveal panel on the 16th. And yeah, you'll be there.
Yes, I'm going to be there for this. This is be my second time going. It's really fun. It's such a different environment. Like, we play Siege at home with our friends, and it's really fun. But when you're there, you're surrounded by, like, everybody Rainbow Six. Everybody. Mm-hmm. And, like, even, like, I was – my first time going, it was one of those things where I'm like, man, how exciting can it really be? You're literally watching – like, you're in a stadium. I'm watching – and I'm not – like, I watch Pro League – at home, I put it on my TV. If I'm just like open around the house a little bit, I'll have Pro League matches going on in the background. I'm like, well, I don't get like super amped when I watch that. I go, oh, that's pretty cool. And, oh, that was interesting. But like, I don't get amped, right? Like you see people at football games. But when you're there, totally, I remember distinctly like jumping out of my seat yelling. And it's like, how, like, it's just an environment that's super, it's so different than anything that you've ever experienced in Rainbow Six.
Very cool. Well, I know that also is, you know, kind of right up in your neck of the woods being a native Quebecian and all. So that's a hop, skip, and a jump for you.
Well, it's a 7-hour drive.
Well, for me, there is no driving for my distance. It would involve some kind of, some kind of air travel. Exactly.
Or cannon, some sort of high power cannon. Just launches you over the border.
Oh, that will be your 6 operator special ability.
Ooh, that's Kool-Aid Man's brother. It's like I can't remember her name right now. Amaru, that's what it was. That's Amaru's buff.
Her counterpart.
She doesn't have the grappling hook. She just has a cannon at the beginning and just launches you through a window.
So with the Invitational coming up soon, I mean, what are some things you think? Because we also know, like, I mean, first of all, there's the unconfirmed things that we've been talking about now. Yeah. And we do know that they're going to be announcing what they're going to be working on for year one, season one. But they're also probably, because, you know, just like looking at what they did last year, they're probably going to reveal the year 5 roadmap at that point. So we also know that they're going to be doing a rework on how stuck debris functions. So hopefully, and we've heard this before, and then it didn't seem to change anything, but hopefully they'll finally fix the solution of punching a barricade and then that stupid plank just sits there broken and still blocking your vision.
that's the most annoying thing, especially when you're like trying to finagle around it and then you get shot in the face.
Yeah.
And then on their side, you're just peeking out this hole looking like an idiot. And then, so hopefully that fixes. I know it's client side. I don't know how they're going to fix it though. Like if they make it so like when you hit debris, it just launches into like space. I don't know. Like where like you hit it so hard, it just evaporates. I don't know.
It should not evaporate. And here's why.
No, I'm not saying they should do that.
Okay. Well, and let me just make this point because there's some people that are like, oh yeah, you just punch the debris and it disappears. Like the reason that should not happen is it is a vital source of information when you're approaching a structure to see all those broken bits of wood where they rip something down. And then they put the barricade on the window or door back up again, because then you know, oh, this barricade looks like it hasn't been tampered with, but that debris shows me it has. So I need to look for the Valk cams, or I need to look for some the lesion on the ground that they threw out before they boarded it back up again. It gives you intel. And so just having that debris disappear, despawn, would be losing a vital source of information. But they need to fix it being stuck.
I think when you hit something, it should maybe like, rather than just sitting in place, make it so it like kind of goes forward, it propels itself a little bit.
Has less friction. Still, yeah.
Yes, exactly. It just goes, or it becomes something like it's, you can hit it, it still exists, but it doesn't interact with anything. So it just falls through the door. Like if you knock a barricade off a door or a window, it just falls through the door. It's at the bottom. It's at the like on the ground.
Yeah.
But it doesn't interact with anything on the window anymore.
Yeah, I know what you mean. That would work.
That would be pretty cool. I think that's a smart way to go about it.
So what are some things you think that they may announce that like we don't have any idea about? Whether that's like your, season 2 through 4 operators or maps or modes or features or, what's kind of on your hopes or wish list or what have you?
Well, they do every year so far. Elite skins. They're going to announce an elite skin or elite skins, plural, who knows. I don't know which one. I know there's like a Kavera one that's been leaked a couple times. There's a Buck one. It could be for an operator we haven't even seen yet. Maybe there's a Castle elite or something. But there's going to be an elite, so I can't wait to see that one. I think we're going to see probably more, like, we're going to see the roadmap, but then every time they seem to kind of add things to it. Like, remember they did the roadmap, and then they're like, oh, then we're going to show you, like, the Pro League season roadmap, and everybody's kind of hyped about that. And I was like, I really don't know why you showed me this. Where I think they might show us the roadmap and maybe show us events that are going to be happening. Like, season 1, we're going to have two main events that are going to be happening, where like similar to the stadium event, where it's a map based event, you're going to get unlocked skins, you can unlock this, you can unlock that. And then there's another event on a different map that has a different theme, and then it's just going to do that throughout the season. So we might see something like that. We might see as well, because the thing that they keep touching on is 100 operators. We might see something that we never even thought we'd see. We might see something that they're going to put into Siege that, like, I don't even know what it is. I can't even describe what they might do, but, like, it's like, hey, we've added this entirely new mode that, like, a story mode. I'd love to see a story mode.
Oh, my God. Yes, that would be amazing. I don't see it happening, but I would die for it.
Another great thing I had, or great thing, oh, my God, I'm so – sound terrible. Another great idea to me I had was the events. There would be an event, but it was a story event. So they'd make these, like, they'd make, you know, let's say 2, 4, 6, let's say 8, between 6 and 8 pre-made events. They're all story-based. They're, I don't know, 3 to 4 missions long. They're not very long. Works similar to Outbreak, where there's different chapters, but it's to understand the history of an operator. So it's a story mode for a particular operator and how they interact with the other operators. So for example, Ying, we can see Ying's story of how her and Fuse became these like crazy riot. Like she doesn't like how Fuse does things. So you get to play these things where there's a story. You play as Ying, you're infiltrating a building, and then Fuse just slaps his thing on the door and just goes, you know, da, and then hits the thing and, you know, everybody inside. That's how you learn about these things. Or we understand why Thatcher? Yeah, we understand why Thatcher punched a lion in the face. Like, maybe it was something over an operation, or, you know what I mean? Like, these bios that they give us, these, like, stories.
Yeah, let's see that history. Awesome.
Yeah, or we get to learn about where Maverick went. Mm-hmm. What happened to Maverick? Like, you have to fight your way through, like you were kidnapped in the Middle East. You have to fight your way through these different infiltration places and different places that have been just like filled with, I don't know, terrorism and or something, or bad guys, or whatever you want to call it. And then you have to work your way back to the military base that takes you 2 years to get to. So, like, have these events. So you learn about these operators, and it tells the story of how they are who they are and how they interact with who they interact with.
That would be really cool. I would be all about that. Some other things that I think would be really cool is, so we were talking about special events a little bit. I'd like to see them do some things where, so, okay, each season they have a special event, right? We had Doctor's Curse or Stadium or the Wild West event in this last year, yep. You know, these kind of things. So it's like once a season we get a special event. So the way that it would work is like the new season would launch and you'd get a month of Discovery playlist. And then you'd take a month off of nothing and then you'd have Wild West Showdown. Right. And then the next one. So you'd have like, you know, a Discovery playlist for a month, nothing for a month, special event for a month, you know, and it would kind of go like that. What if they filled that off month where they didn't do anything with another event so that basically there was always an event at all times, but that event would be like, it wouldn't be the big special main event, but it would do something that uses what's already there in interesting ways. So maybe that special event is 3 maps, all pistols and shotguns only. You know, and only operators that have valid ones. Maybe it's pre-selected operators of, you know, a choice of 20 of them, you know, 10 on each side or something. I don't know. And again, it's not making anything new for the event. They don't have to spend time creating a new map, like, or new characters or new, you know what I mean? It's like, it's using what's already there, but it's just for, like, fun.
Like a 24/7 plane 3v3.
Right. Something like that. Or like, I would love to see the return of old maps, and people would be like, oh, they got rid of them. But what data limits? No, shut up. Here's why. Because they are still on your hard drive. They can talk about data limits all that you want, but you can still go play old Hereford in situations right now. The map still is in your hard drive. Same thing. What's that?
I'll be right back then. You carry on. I'll go play that.
You could do the same thing too with Old Canal. It's Cold Zero is a situation that you can play right now on Old Canal. Same thing with Old Cafe. It's still in situations. It's not like, you know, you can't bring it back because, oh, data file size limits are being exceeded. Like, they're still installed in your hard drive right now. So,
retro playlist.
Yeah, just like, what if you had an event like, oh my God, this would be the best. Only original maps.
Yep.
Only original ops.
Yep.
Oh my God, that playlist would be amazing.
Oh, that would be the best. Or, right. Like, even have one, you go further than that. Like, have, like, a Beta Busters thing where it's, like, Hereford and House.
And
old
Plane.
Hereford and House.
And Plane. Plane was part of Beta.
And Plane. Yep, sorry. Hereford, House, Plane. Original operators. No attachments.
I'd argue sites, but okay.
I think with the way that the game is now, sites are very heavily relied on. So take that out. It's there's.
That's why I want sites.
Damn it! This is what you're doing. You're having fun. No sites. Sites are not fun.
But like, how cool would that be to see them like fill out these events where it's like it doesn't really require much of anything off of them. They don't have to redesign a map.
Old lighting.
Old lighting. Well, I don't know about that one.
Just for those ones. Just for those ones.
But you know, like doing something like that would be so interesting to kind of fill that like that off month. Of the special events for. I would love to see something like that. I think that would be really cool. And then, so like the events are used to sell things, right? So special event, they have like the special uniforms that you can buy, the special headgears, and they want you to buy the special alpha packs that are only available during the event, right? So the events drive sales for them. I get that.
Yes.
I get it. So what if during these vanilla events for, you know, original DLC maps and operators or just shotguns and pistols or whatever that – rather than bringing in new assets to create new uniforms, which then ties up the art team for having to create stuff for this event, what if you just instead offer discounts on things that are already around? So, you know, yeah, the special event is old maps and old operators and the original five CTU packs, you know, for their uniforms and their headgears and their weapon skins are all in a bundle pack at a 50% off discount price. So again, they're still getting a little bit of their revenue that the special events are meant to generate, but they don't have to do anything really, you know, super crazy to pull it off.
Yeah. And then maybe like in the alpha packs, maybe not have it for every operator, but you know how there's those renders of like what the character was maybe originally supposed to remember? Because you remember like the Nook ones? Like Nook had this like she had the mesh and she has now, but like she had this like really cool one. Where like it was like basically her whole body, it was like all black. Like have like make those character or make those outfits for that for like the retro one. So like what you originally wanted Glaz to look like, and you had those renders, the different like oh maybe he could have this headgear or this headgear or this headgear or this headgear.
Yeah, yeah.
That you know what I mean? Cool like too. You make one of those headgears with one of his outfits that you're thinking, and then same thing with Smoke, and same thing like, but only on the original ones if you're gonna have the retro playlist, or like you said, like have because we didn't have camo skins for Black Ice. I can't remember what was season 2 called.
Dustline.
Dustline. Yeah, we didn't have it for Dustline. We didn't have it. Or for any of them. So like maybe like make some camos for them, you know what I mean? Like something kind of basic but interesting that people are going to want.
Yeah, I think Dustline is when the headgears came out. It was Black Ice that didn't have any, and then of course Launch didn't have any either. So yeah, no, for sure. There's definitely some cool stuff that could be done there. There's so much stuff that like it would be cool to see them do and so many good ideas. And of course, we'll probably be wrong on all of our hopes and they'll probably go in completely different ways that we never saw coming. So it'll be really interesting to see in another week and a half here or so what it is they wind up doing.
Yeah, exactly. And I can definitely say it's always fun or exciting when they prove you wrong and it's something better.
Yes. Definitely. So. Okay. Well, this is a good place to wrap up. We've hit so many topics that are going on this week. And, of course, we will be back next week with Captain going over just everything that has kind of evolved from week to week as new news and information comes out. And we'll be sharing all of our thoughts and opinions with you. And hopefully we will be having Neely Bobber back at some time, either to fill in or maybe join us as another guest host as kind of a three-way discussion panel. But it's been a blast having you on, and you are welcome back anytime.
It's been an absolute pleasure. I love doing these things. I cannot wait to come back. And thank you for having me.
Absolutely. All right, guys. Well, if you haven't already, please go ahead and check us out on your favorite Discord app. We are also on all kinds of different things for wherever you get your podcasts. You can find us on anchor.fm, on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, pretty much any place that you like to pick up your podcast, you can find us there. So if you like what you hear, go ahead and just give us a follow on those services. And until then, this is Icy Cat and Neely Bobber, and we will see you next time.
This has been Rainbow Six Radio. Be sure to tune in next time for even more Rainbow Six talk, news, and information.